all these people, they weren't scholars, you know, they weren't adults. They hadn't been through amazing seasons of life that taught them great change and all these life lessons. They were kids. They were kids that God used for his glory, and they became some of the greatest disciples of the Lord in history. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Unscripted Scripture. I'm Jack here with my buddy, my brother, Zach. Zach, say hi to the people.
Hi, people.
That's him. We're also here with Abby, our executive operations
Chuck.
Producer, manager, director, Abby.
Her title. Her title keeps getting longer.
Yeah,
every week.
Mr. Dr. Professor Abby.
There you go.
So we are back and we are diving into the book of Jeremiah.
Was a bullfrog.
Jeremiah the bullfrog.
That one?
Yes. Yeah, that one. And we're going to be talking about youthfulness. Now, Zach, I got a question for you.
Okay.
We're thinking about youthfulness, and I was like, we were talking about what we're gonna look at, and we're like, oh, let's just do Jeremiah. But then I'm like, how do we like make youthfulness fun and talk about it in a fun way? I want to throw out this thing I found online. It's a website called StuffChristiansLike.net. The 11 people every youth group needs.
Oh, okay. Oh, this is fun.
Ready to get into this?
Please, give it to me.
Guess what? The number one person every youth group needs. The guy that owns a Jeep.
Jokester. Oh, we had one of those.
Yeah, we did.
No way.
Yours truly.
There you go. Jack Drummond.
Yeah, it's that the girls love the Jeep guy. That's all I got to say.
Okay.
Number two, the kid that hates God but got forced to attend because of his parents.
Mm, yep, I know that one too.
It's too bad.
Yeah.
But, you know, he sits in the corner, sits on the couch.
He's still
really
fun. He drinks the Monster every week.
He brings the Monster.
Yeah,
in, right.
He's like the
BMX bike.
The youth group bad boy.
Yeah. The ridiculously beautiful girl that doesn't know it.
Yo, yes.
That's the Sadie Robertson.
I know.
Over there in the corner.
Yes. Yes.
Sadie, if you're listening, we love you.
Shout out.
Give us a shout out.
Yeah. Dude, so true.
Right.
Okay, nice. All
this
right.
is bringing back so many memories.
I know.
Those first crushes in
I
youth
know,
group, right?
I know. Now I feel like we're both like dating those girls.
Mm.
Yeah.
We are.
Yeah. I know.
Four, one obnoxious pastor's kid that thinks he's a celebrity.
Ah,
Abby likes that one.
Pastor kid. PK.
Abby likes that one. Oh, that's a good one. The kid that wears shorts in the winter.
Mm. There's definitely that. There's definitely
yeah.
that.
Yeah, right? I feel like we get that a lot. We got that a lot in middle school.
Were you one of those guys, though? Like,
yeah.
Do you think you're the Jeep guy or do you think you're the shorts guy?
I was the shorts guy. Because I was the wrestler, dude, and we would come out of wrestling just in our shorts and sometimes just our leotards or singlets.
Not come in your singlet. No way.
And coach would be like, "Wait, put some pants on."
Or were you the bad kid that they made come?
Yeah.
Your parents made.
No, I wasn't the bad kid.
Okay.
Number six, the guy that somehow got ordained at the age of 13. They call him the mini pastor. The mini pastor.
I don't know. I feel like that's close to the PK kid. I just said pastor's kid, pastor, or
pastor's kid.
Kid, yeah.
You kind of turned into the mini pastor recently. Well, in past years, the recent years.
For a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, but you were out of youth group, so it doesn't count. Number seven, the group of people you'll talk to at youth group but pretend you don't know it's school.
Ooh, why is that?
That's true.
Why is that?
I don't know.
We
you
think,
embarrassed?
Yeah,
you embarrassed
we think we're
about going to youth group. Is that it?
No, I think it's like one of those things where you're at a smaller group from when you're at youth group, and you're like, "Oh, I'm cool here, but I'm not cool there." Like, there's cooler kids at school than me, but when I'm at youth group, like I'm the cool kid, and I'll talk to anyone. But as soon as I get to school,
yeah,
I don't know.
Depends on the group, man. Depends
exactly.
who you are.
All right.
Number eight, that dude with an acoustic guitar.
Yes.
And all
yes.
the comments underneath is, you know who you are. Stop.
Yep. Yep. That's like the, that's all, the, that's the guy that all the girls go to. Yeah. Like, I want a guy that plays Jealous, guitar man. For me. You guys know Jack picked up the guitar over COVID, and now he's like playing songs like he sleeps with his guitar.
Don't
he's
tell really him, really good. Man. Don't tell him.
You do really good for self-taught guy.
It was fun.
It still better be fun, because I enjoy listening to you.
Yeah, thanks, man.
You're welcome, man.
We're all learning.
Some of us are.
Number 9, we got 3 more. The guy whose girlfriend goes to church, so he's there too.
Ah!
I can see it.
Unevenly yoked.
This is the one I could picture when I was reading through these. It's like the guy, he sits back, his girl's next to him, talking to all her friends, and he's there, arms on his chest, legs crossed, just looking around, enjoying it.
Enjoying it?
Yeah.
I don't think he's enjoying it.
Well, he's there because he has to be.
Right.
Because she would get mad at him if he didn't
come. Oh, my goodness. I could have a whole episode on that.
Number 10, the cool kids from school that come to youth group for a brief period of time.
Yes.
Come in, look around, leave halfway. Or they come in, talk, and then they go out and like play basketball or ping pong right as it's done.
Yo, yeah. So I was like a junior high youth pastor for a little bit, and that was exactly it.
That's what it is.
You could tell when it was the cool kid night, like mm-hmm. that once a month week, and they all came. And then everyone else would act up because they were trying to impress the cool kids instead of...
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
That's it.
Youth group.
Last one.
Ooh.
The kid that farts all the time.
Oh, that
and
was...
And pretends like he didn't.
Ooh. That was Jack.
That was not Jack. It's not what Jack tried to be. Oh, that was fun.
That was fun.
That's it. So, youth. We're talking about the youth. The youth of America. The youth of the world.
The young ones.
Young
bucks. Are we the young ones? Are we youth?
Sure. We can be youth.
Well, give an age of who youth is.
Young adult.
Okay.
So I go from tween, teen, to young adult. And I'd say that's the youth of our world. And when I think about youthful people and young bucks right there.
Young bucks.
That age group.
And does. And yeah. does. Young does.
I think even once you're just into like marriage, you start to fade out. I think once you get married, then you kind of fade into like...
What?
Because you take on more responsibility. You take on more...
I still want to be a young buck.
You're a young buck.
Not if I get married.
But you're not a youth.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's talk about some people who were young bucks.
Let's do it.
In the Bible. So just 5 or 6 that I thought of while
Rattle
I was
them.
Trying to study this was David and Goliath.
David.
David, we just talked about him last week or 2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago, yeah.
And he was probably like 17 years old from what my research says. And he killed a giant that was like 7 foot or taller than
10
that.
10 foot, I
think. 10 foot?
Something like that.
Okay. Also, there was Joseph and Potiphar's wife.
Yeah.
I didn't find out how old he was then, but I mean, you could see that he was sold into slavery by his brothers. And then the story behind that is Joseph became one of Potiphar's like most trusted people, and Joseph was allowed to have anything. Except for Potiphar's wife.
Mm-hmm.
And Potiphar's wife started flirting with him. And Joseph was strong enough to say, no, like, I am a holy man. I am serving your husband. This is not the way to do this. And, yeah, I know.
And he was probably like a teenager.
Exactly.
Jeez.
I know. You have all those hormones, you young teens going crazy, man.
What?
Yeah. Anyways. All right. Then I have 3 guys we talked about before. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. To bed we go.
Yeah.
That's what my dad says every time it's time to go to bed. To bed we go. He always makes those dad jokes like, oh, that was great. But you know what else is great? Going to bed. So let's all go to bed. But they were probably in the age of between 10 and 30. So like, yeah, you could say, oh, they're 30.
Wow.
Daniel was probably 80 during that time. But
80.
Think about, all right, being 10 years old and saying no to a king.
But weren't...
Or like 15 or 20.
Wait, back up.
Okay.
Weren't...
Please.
Weren't Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego like Daniel's best friends?
Yes.
So they were like 10 years old and he's 80?
See, that just, that proves our... That's creepy. No, that proves our story even more. That's
creepy.
Daniel was able to realize that he could learn stuff from the youth. How many times do you hear...
Didn't he have friends his own age?
How many times do you hear parents saying that they learn something from their toddlers?
Never.
What?
That's hard.
All the time. I hear that. I hear parents say, if it wasn't for my little kid, I wouldn't have realized this.
Oh. I haven't been around.
They teach them everything. Especially when they're in that why stage. They're like, why? Mommy, why? 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 And you have to give them answers. And then you're like, son, I don't know why. So... Yeah. Then we move on to Jesus. We talked about him, Jesus in the temple. He was only 12 years old, which a 12-year, like, I looked it up and it looks like that's the age you were allowed to go to the temple is when you were 12 years old. So, like, when he got to go, maybe that's why Jesus wasn't recorded during 12 to 30, because that was his learning time. And his time where he was at the temples and stuff. I never really understood that story because I'm like, Jesus was disobeying his parents. I mean, we talked about it in a previous episode, so you can go back and Jack kind of explains it to me more. So go back and listen to that.
I'd call Jesus. If I put Jesus was around 12, right, when we went to the temple.
Yep.
So if we put him into that youth group stereotype, I'd probably put him at the mini pastor role.
Oh, yeah.
Ordained at a young age and already speaking the gospel, speaking the truth.
All right. Yeah, I would too. He definitely wasn't the
bad
kid.
And his parents were young too. Mary was like 13 when she had him.
Right. But Mary and Joseph, at the end, it says that Mary treasured all these things and she realized that, like, this is a man of God.
Yeah.
When she went to the back to the temple and saw that he was teaching all the priests. So Mary learned something from Jesus then. Which I'm sure she learned stuff from Jesus all during her mother years with Jesus.
Yeah.
Two more. We got the young lad and his lunch. The guy who gave the bread, the fish and bread, the loaves of bread, and fed the 5,000.
Yeah.
He was, we know that disciples were around the age, were like teenagers. So like... Yeah. 16 to, I don't know, 20, which we also might talk about that too.
Mm-hmm.
But you can see if Luke, I think it was Luke that writes about, he says a young boy brought the bread. So if like a 16-year-old is calling someone else younger, like this kid's got to be probably around 7 or 8 years old. So I think it's pretty crazy that, you know, someone that young was, like, he was able to sacrifice. He was able to feed 5,000 people. So that's just a little background of young people that were able to do impactful things. But the sixth one, and the one we're going to talk about, is Jeremiah, which Jack already said, and we call him the bullfrog. But, Jack's going to tell you all about Mr. Jeremiah.
Well, I think, this is great. I mean, why are we talking about youthfulness? Because, like, it's such a weird, it's a weird thing to think about. But you hit the nail on the head, man. When you're like, all these people, they weren't scholars. You know, they weren't adults.
Mm-hmm.
They hadn't been through amazing seasons of life that taught them great change and all these life lessons. They were kids. They were kids that God used for his glory, and they became some of the greatest disciples of the Lord in history. And what we're trying to stress here, I think, in this episode is that God can use you at your age. You know, age is no guarantee of wisdom. Just because you've been through a lot and you're 40 years old, 50, 60 years old, doesn't mean that you're walking with the Lord. Doesn't mean you automatically have God's wisdom. And you can seek that out now, right now, whatever age you are, whoever's listening, whatever age, however old you are, God can use you right now. And just as he did with everybody that Zach mentioned and Jeremiah as well. But let's quickly go into Jeremiah 1, starting right off, because it's Jeremiah's call. how he was called to be a prophet. And so Jeremiah is the son of priests in the territory of Benjamin. And the word of the Lord came to him in the 13th year of the reign of Josiah, who was the son of Ammon, the king of Judah. And this is a time when the people of Jerusalem were about to go into exile. So God was going to be punishing them for disobedience and for not walking in his light anymore. And that exile was going to come through the Babylonians and King Nebuchadnezzar coming to invade. But Jeremiah was called at a young age to prepare them for that day. And all his life he's going to be preparing the Israelites for that invasion and that exile. And this is where we pick up at verse 4. So 1-4. The word of the Lord came to me, so Jeremiah is writing this, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations."
Stop right there.
Okay.
Do you think God says that to us now?
Absolutely, man.
God's like, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew who you were going to be."
Yes.
"Before this, I knew you were going to be a prophet of all nations."
Yes.
Then what are we doing still sitting on this couch?
Hey, man.
Let's act on it.
That's why we're talking about it.
The creator of this world knew that we were going to form
2,000 years ago. Right. He knew that you would be sitting here in that Flyers sweater after they just won 6-3.
Yeah, go Flyers.
That's a shout out. But he knew that.
Mm-hmm.
He knew that billions of years ago when he spoke light into the earth.
Uh-huh. Bring it.
He knew it.
Yeah.
He knew it. He knew. That's why he was preparing all of the Old Testament prophets for Jesus.
Yeah, preach it.
He knew that Jesus was coming. He was preparing Jesus' ministry.
Amen.
And all of those prophets, I'm jumping to Hebrews 11. When Hebrews 11 says, "By faith, all these people, by faith, Noah did this, by faith, Moses did this, but they never saw the promise that had been kept to them."
This is crazy, which is crazy.
It's crazy.
Because they did all this work and never saw...
They
never profited from all their work.
Yes, as prophets. Nice one.
When they got to heaven, they profited.
Oh, the heaven, they rejoiced.
But
man,
not on this world. They didn't see... While they were on this world, they were not able to see their works done.
Yes. But God... It was all part of his plan. It was all orchestrated perfectly. And that's what we say, God is good all the time and all the time.
Oh, God is good.
That's it. Yes. Because he is. Because all his plans are perfect. Because he has plans for your great grandchildren. He has plans right now. He has plans for your great 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 grandchildren. If
and
Jesus
their children,
hasn't come yet.
And their children.
And their children. And their children. And their children. Because that's just how great he is. But it's something that we can't even fathom.
Where is that verse? You keep talking. I'll look
it's
up.
Something that we can't even fathom. And so coming to Jeremiah, he's like, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." And another translation is, "Before I formed you in the womb, I chose you. I chose you for a specific task, a specific thing." And he says that specific thing. "I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." And for most of us, our purpose and our task in life here on earth isn't as clear-cut as that. It's not as clear-cut as you're going to be a prophet. But for Jeremiah, he didn't accept it. He didn't accept that it's that true and that clear that God could just tell him and he could be like okay with it. Because he says in the next verse, "Alas, sovereign Lord, I said, I do not know how to speak. I am too young." And God rebukes that. But like, before we get into that, we're his. Like, back on 5, we are his work. We are his people. We're not our own. So when we think that he set us apart, you know, for greater things, it's because we're serving him. You know, I'm pulling up Romans here.
Okay.
I have a verse in Romans 9:18. "Therefore God has mercy on whom he wants to have mercy, and he hardens whom he wants to harden." Remember, we talked back with Pharaoh how God hardened his heart because Pharaoh was his. Now Pharaoh didn't follow God, but he was still a child of God.
Right, and that was so confusing for us while reading that. Like, it took us that whole series to go through and figure out why God hardened Pharaoh's heart.
Yeah. We are not our own people. And that's the point I want to get out of verse 5, is that our mission is God's mission. That mm-hmm. has to be. Our purpose on earth has to be God's purpose for us on earth. It's not our own. We are servants, we are slaves, and we've said that so many times in this podcast.
Mm.
Because that's true. Like, we are his. And we see all prophets in the Old Testament have always had doubts. There's always been times when prophets have doubted. Moses doubted that he didn't want to go follow God's call, and God almost punished him by almost killing his son. And he had to get his wife circumcised. Remember the circumcision?
Oh, yeah.
The son, right. To save him?
Mm-hmm.
And then he touched Moses with the foreskin.
Weird
story. Weird. But because Moses was disobedient. And Jonah, remember Jonah, like, pulling away from God's call and running, fleeing.
The other direction.
But he was a prophet chosen by God, and God knew that he was going to flee. So he sent the fish to pick him up and bring him back, change his heart.
Mm-hmm.
And so here in Jeremiah doesn't go through that big epiphany and those crazy stories, but God just reassures him. He says, "Do not say that I am too young. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord." Do not say that I am too young. We're not too young. There's no such thing. There's not a perfect age to be giving your prophecy. Jesus started at 12 years old. 12 years old.
Right.
And then he started at 30. So he wasn't fully grown. He hadn't experienced all of life, but he was faithful and he was obedient.
Yeah. So there's this story about a non-believer who goes to church. He doesn't really believe in God, but one day he has just kind of the feeling that he should go to church. So he goes to church, and he just loves what the preacher is preaching on. He ends up accepting God, and then a couple months later, he ends up joining the church, becoming a member, and then a year later, he's giving his first sermon, and then 3 years after that, he moves to a different country and forms a church, and it becomes a mega church. And this kid was only 16 years old when he started when he joined as a member. And then he was 17 years old when he had his first service, when he preached. And then he was only, I think it was like 23 years old when the mega church started, and he was the leader of it and the pastor.
Mm.
So there is a story where there is a young person who knew what he believed in, had faith in God, and just took off. Like, a mega church, guys. Like, a 23-year-old. Jack, how old are you?
22.
22. Jack is 22. I am 22. Could you imagine us running a mega church?
Nope.
No. Preaching to over 1,000 people. This 23-year-old did this. So you tell me what's impossible with God. That's insane. So, like, stop playing video games and get out there. Let's go, young people. Like, we are able to see who our viewers, who our listeners are, and most of our listeners are the same age as us, that 18 to 24. And so if you're listening, like, we have an impact on this world. And another lesson is, if we have an impact on this world and we're young, then that means people younger than us can have an impact on us. So we can't just shut out that little brother who keeps annoying you and taking your clothes and, I don't know what else, asking for rides.
Mm-hmm.
Like, these people, God uses people to teach you, like he used Jeremiah, like he used David, Joseph. All these people are there for your teaching and can change the world. You can change the world.
Yeah. God's given us all our own platform. It's a platform that it could be 2 inches high.
Mm.
It could be 10 feet tall. Mm. Regardless, we all have a platform. You're not flat on the ground. You have people that look up to you.
Right. Yes.
There's always someone that looks up to you. It might not be someone younger than you.
Yeah.
It could be someone 30 years older than you.
Yeah.
That's the thing we're getting at, is that don't let your youth hold you back. Don't let your age hold you back from spreading the gospel. from talking about the Lord. Even if it's just short conversations with people. It doesn't have to be preaching. It's not preaching. It's just talking about why you do things. Why do you think this way? Why do you not laugh at those jokes? Why do you, why do you go to this, why do you go to church? Like, what are you doing on Sunday? Like, it's because I follow Jesus. It's because I'm led by the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit resides in you and is active in you, it's contagious. It's compelling. Right. It leads you. And that's the point, is that it's going to, your spirit, if you're led by the Spirit, that's going to be received by people that are older than you and people that respect the Lord, because they're going to look at you and say, wow, he's living for Jesus.
Right. And I think the biggest fear people have is that short-term fear. We talked about this last week, something short-term, and they're afraid, oh, someone's going to make fun of them. But okay, there might be a group of five people, one person who's very vocal makes fun of you, but you really impact those four other people. Mm-hmm. So, okay, you might get hurt by one person, but four more people went to God. And I think that's what's huge, is people are fearing the short terms and not living for the long terms.
We have to be living for the long term, looking for the future. And the Lord showed Jeremiah the future and says, yeah, this is what you have to be ready for. He says in 14, from the north, disaster will be poured out on all who live in the land. I'm about to summon all the peoples of the northern kingdoms. Their kings will come, set up their thrones in the entrance of the gates of Jerusalem. They will come against all her surrounding walls, against all the towns of Judah. I will pronounce my judgments on my people because of their wickedness, in forsaking me, in burning incense to other gods, and in worshiping what their hands have been made. Get ready. That's what he says to Jeremiah. As kid. We don't know how old Jeremiah was, but he was a kid.
Well, Jesus says young. It doesn't matter how young, or God says it doesn't matter how young you are, so doesn't we matter. Know he's young.
Yeah, but God didn't want to bring in the age, because the age didn't matter. Jeremiah's mm-hmm. age doesn't matter. We just know he's young, meaning maybe inexperienced in life, hasn't gone through much, but God called him, and that's all you have to know.
Right, and God, yeah, God has given him a task. He has given him a list of things, a grocery list. Of things to do, to go out and get.
Pretty big list,
to do,
man.
Yeah.
Whew. But he says, get ready. And he tells him, don't fear. Stand up and say to them whatever I command you. Do not be terrified by them, or I will terrify you before them. Today, I have made you a fortified city. You, Jeremiah, mm-hmm. I have made you a fortified city, an iron pillar, and a bronze wall to stand against the whole land. Against the kings of Judah, its officials, its priests, and the people of the land, they will fight against you, but you will not overcome you. But will not overcome you. For I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. And I'm referencing Jeremiah 29, where
famous Jeremiah 29.
How can God appoint someone this young? Like, how could he do that? And Jeremiah, though he tried to back out of his calling, he realized he couldn't. He couldn't back out of this.
Right.
Because it wasn't his decision. It's not your decision to ignore God's call. Mm-hmm. Jonah realized that. Jonah's like, I can't run from it.
Moses realized it when he was like, God, I'm too scared. I can't talk to all these people. I can't do all this.
Yeah.
And God got mad at him, did he not?
Yeah.
And then he's like, fine, I'll let your brother come along, tag along. But Aaron tag along.
And Jeremiah references back to his time of doubt in 20, and he says, but if I say I will not mention his word or speak any more in his name, his word is in my heart like a fire shut up in my bones. I am weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot. He's compelled to speak. He's desires. That's all he lives for. He says he can't hold it in. I've tried to hold it in. I can't do it. And that's when the Holy Spirit lives in you, that's how God comes out. It's compelling. You have to tell people what you've experienced. You have to tell people what you're going through and how he's shown you, how your life has changed and renewed. And Jeremiah knew that. He's like, I gotta tell people. Jonah, I gotta tell people. I gotta tell him what he's done for me and what he's gonna do for the people of Nineveh, and then Jeremiah, the people of Jerusalem. But don't be ashamed of your age. Don't be ashamed of how young you are. Use it to your advantage. It's a blessing. It's a blessing to be this young and to be mature in the Lord.
Good point, Jack. Yeah, so I think as we wrap all this up, Jack said it greatly. Don't be afraid of your age. You guys still have a lot you can do. There's a lot you can do. I'll end it with this verse here from 1 Timothy 4:12. It says, Do not let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, and in faith, and in purity.
Cut.
There you go.
That's a wrap. Finish it up.
Right. So right we're going to end it there. And
beautiful.
You can look up that verse, 1 Timothy 4:12. As always, you guys know, you can follow us, subscribe, yada, yada. If you want to talk to us, if you want us to talk to you, on Anchor, there's this really cool thing. You can record a message. It's in our link of the description down below. You just hit the link, then you hit record, and you talk to us. And we'll be like, hey, we can talk back to you. And maybe, just maybe, you'll get featured on one of our podcasts.
What?
Or maybe we'll give you a shout out saying like, hey, so-and-so asked us this question. This is our answer. But you know us, we have stuff on Instagram, we have stuff on Twitter, so continue to follow us there. But until then, guys, we will see you next week. Have a great week.